Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Friday to one. Happy Friday to all. It is the King Show coming to you live today from the Girls Live Bazaar at Stackham. Located on Alma School in Chapman Heights, 4901 South Alma School. We are live for today. Who is the show playing today? Since it is Friday, and I am in an incredible mood. I saw Tony Braxton last night. I'm still on cloud nine. It's always fun to get out with the wife, do the date night thing. That allows me the opportunity to do live shows from our fine sponsor, Materials Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Tony got down. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it before this show is over. I'm going to talk about Tony Braxton. You out your mind if you think I'm not going to talk about Tony Braxton. We got some other stuff to talk about, too. Continuing discussion about Zion Williamson. Should he play again before the year is over for the Duke Blue Devils? I don't look at him sideways. Either way. Also, talk about the Lakers last night. Got a big win. But I always say about big wins, that big win is only as big as the next win. You beat a team you're not supposed to beat, but then you turn around and lose to a team that you're not supposed to lose to, that big win kind of goes out the window. We're going to talk that. We're going to talk so much stuff. Robert Kraft, trying to get him a little something on the side. Freaky Robert. We're going to talk about that, too. And today we have the great Alexis Robinson, sports publicist and curator, Diamond NPR. She's scheduled to call in about another 8 or 9 minutes. Like I said, we are coming from you live, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Alma School and Chapman Heights, get down here, let them know PLR sent you. 10% off any cigar purchase that you might have. If you're in the area and you make it down before I leave, you know what? They'll take 15% off any cigar purchase that you may have while I'm in the building. Now, there are some restrictions. So, got to come in, though, find out what's going on. You also become a club member, get a lock and a backflip to a humidor. Never, ever let or worry about your sticks going bad. Also, Maduro's is now serving beer and wine. Ton of television's up, ton of television's on, a lot of stuff being talked about. Right now in the news, though, is Robert Kraft, Mr. Freaky. Wonder if he goes by Robert when he's in the massage parlor, or if he goes by Bobby. We'll get into that. And I want to get more into this Big Ben thing. We touched on it yesterday. We'll get more into that as well. Like I said, all this is coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Welcome to the Game Show. Like I said, this is PLR. We have a plethora that we're going to get into today. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Phone lines are usually open. They will not be open, though, when our guest comes on. If you got anything you want to get off your chest, I'll try to squeeze you in before, or if there's time left, I'll try to squeeze you in after.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
I just want to kick it off here. Let's just get it out the way. The Suns lost number 16 in a row. I had Fleegs on with me yesterday from Suns Debate, Kyle Flieger. And unfortunately, we lost a call before we get into too many topics. Got to ask you, if you're going to Suns games now, what are you rooting for? Like, what are you pulling for? Do you want to see this team win? Do you want to see this team possibly get another good high? They have to get a high draft pick, but do you want them going for the number one spot? I mean, do you want to see a team that competes? Do you want to see a team that – I mean, what do you guys want to see? Tanking is only tanking when teams are doing it on purpose. The Suns are not tanking. They're just a bad basketball team. They're going to go to Atlanta. They lost last night in Cleveland. They're going to go to Atlanta. Then they're going to go out to Miami. Then they come home to New Orleans, for New Orleans, rather, next week, followed by the Lakers, followed by Milwaukee, followed by New York. Guys, I'm going to just be honest here. They lost to Atlanta at home. Do you think they're going to beat Atlanta? Do you think they're better than Miami and Miami? I think the winnable game they have is, I'm looking at the schedule, it's possibly New Orleans, because they're psychologically washed. Now, they don't know what Anthony Davis is going to do, even though technically he's going to play with reduced minutes. Basically, what Anthony Davis is going to play with reduced minutes means is that he's going to play long enough to get accidentally hurt so they can sit him. So let's say they beat New Orleans. That'll give them victory number 12. They didn't play the Lakers. I don't think they're going to beat the Lakers here. They play Milwaukee. I don't think they're going to beat Milwaukee here. They play New York. 50-50 game. Let's give it to them. It's at home. 13. Travel to Portland. I don't see them doing that. Travel to Golden State. Don't see them doing that. Utah at home. Don't see them doing that. On the road to Houston. Don't see them doing that. Get New Orleans again. In New Orleans. Man, let's give them that one. Let's give them that one. That's victory 14. Get Chicago at home. Let's give them that one. Number 15. Get Detroit at home. I don't think they're going to beat Detroit. Go to Sacramento. Don't think they're going to beat Sacramento. Go to Utah. Don't think they're going to beat Utah. Come home to Washington. Don't think they're going to beat Washington. Stay home, play Memphis. And they may get Memphis. They may get New Orleans. They get New Orleans after that for the last home game of the year. And then they end in Houston and Dallas. I see 16 victories for the year. And partially because they get New Orleans on schedule three more times. I don't see this team winning more than 16 games. That's a regression. This season has regressed for this. Here's what I don't understand. The Suns technically have more talent. And I know that they're a good point guard away from being a much better team. But is a good point guard the difference of that many games? I mean, really, stop and think about it. Is it really a difference of that many games? I mean, I guess we have to wait and see. I'm just going to run through and give you this real quick. Like I said, we have Alexis Robinson scheduled to call in here pretty soon. When the Suns started their 16-game losing streak, I'm going to give you some point totals, and you tell me what this means to you. And I'm not going to give you the teams they lost to, just the points. 131-97, 111-109, 135-115, 116-114, 118-91, 120-106, 132-95, 116-102, 126-124, 118-112, 118-110, 116-88, 117-107, 117-104, 134-107, 111-98. What happened in all 16 of those games? They couldn't stop nobody. Like my man said in training day, Denzel Washington, you can't do it. They can't stop nobody. They have given up 110 points or more, making 111 points or more in 16 games. You cannot be a competitive NBA team and give up 110 points or more in 16 straight games. It is just not possible. And expect to win. Talk more about the Suns in a second. I see our guest is calling in. But just like I said, 16 games in a row. And if I go even further back, they lost to Dallas 104-94. And they gave up 104 points in that loss. But before that, they had given up 119, 121, 132, 132, 122, 118. Even in their win over Orlando, they gave up 120, 111, 149. And their losses, 111, I'm just going backwards chronologically, 111, 123, 115. You have to go all the way back to December 6th to see a game that they lost by that they only gave up 108 points. And I said only. 122, 120, 115. Oh, there's a 99-pointer in there. Go on like this all day. Online, it is such a pleasure to have my next guest on. Incredible, incredible businesswoman. Love to speak sports with her. Love to talk about everything with her. You know her. She is a sports publicist, curator, Diamond NPR. She's on the Cave Show with PLR, on the Carrie Lackey Law Line, the one and only Alexis Robinson. Thank you for joining me. How are you today?
Hello, I'm good. How are you? And thank you for all the kind words.
Well,
feeling good
after
that thing. I needed that.
I hear you.
Thank you.
I hear you. Well, you get out to Phoenix, and we give you a bunch of rain. So
I know.
I apologize.
I know. Yeah, and it, Vegas, we had a little bit of snow too. So it took me a good 14 hours. To get here because of all the delays that I had for my flight. So, now the weather here, I had to bust out all these meetings within a day. It's been crazy, but honestly, this is a great city, so I'm cool with it.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And you heard me probably talking about our beloved Phoenix Suns down here and how we can't stop anybody.
That was a bad loss yesterday.
Yesterday, you're being very polite. I was looking at the schedule before you called in, and out of the 40 something odd losses that we had, only like four of them have we given up less than 110 points in losing. Every other one has been 110 points or more. We have to have the worst defense in the NBA, and I know you watch a lot of basketball, and I know you said yesterday's loss was bad, but have you seen and what you've seen of Phoenix yesterday? Team played worse defense?
Yeah, no. You don't lose by double digits to the Cavs, who are the worst team in the NBA, coming off of a break where you're well rested. And they had the Cavs looking like all of them looking like all stars. The defense was – that was a bad loss. And usually I try – I really do because I love the guys on the team. I think they're going to, do great things. Might not be together. Might be individually. But I always try and find an excuse for the Suns. That yesterday was just a bad loss. There's really nothing you can say about that one.
You know what I think, and I'm not – and this isn't towards James Jones at all – And I like Ryan a lot. But I think he left the team in a bad situation. And by that, I mean, you have a bunch of young guys that have come from winning organizations. College programs. Booker came from Kentucky. DeAndre came from U of A. Jackson came from Kansas. All these guys are used to winning. But because they're so used to winning, they're now in this spiral culture where everything is losing. And I think it's unfair to a bunch of young guys to not give them any veteran leadership and veterans that can still play, especially at the point guard position, to help them get out of the forest. So I'm not taking the blame away from the players, but I'm basically saying I don't think management helped them get out of the forest by giving them guys that can actually play to get out of the forest.
Yeah, I've been saying this, and I get a lot of backlash from Suns Twitter when I do, but Devin Booker is not a number one guy. He's a number two guy. He's never going to carry a team like that. And so they need to get – and clearly they need a good one. You know, there's reasons why people keep talking – you know, CJ and Dame are making it work. Like, I feel like they could have that sort of thing. I feel like they're not far off roster-wise as, like, CJ – as the Trailblazers. Like, they have a lot of young guys, but they have – and they have a good amount of – they're veterans on the Trailblazers besides Dame and CJ, obviously. They don't really even have, like, good veterans. They have a bunch of solid young guys, and then they have just the one and the two are solid together. Like, Devin Booker is not the guy. He needs another guy with him. And you're right, it should be a veteran. Because he needs someone to be good right away with him. They want to do well. And you don't have time to develop. I don't think the Suns have time to develop another, you know, to develop a point guard that'll be as good as, you know, Devin Booker needs him to be. I think they need to go out and find one. So you're right. It has to be like a veteran. But he needs someone with him to lead that team. Because he's not capable. He's no MVP type, James Harden type, where he can do this by himself. So,
I'm with you on that. And here's the problem the Suns have. A free agent is not going to come here. And so I think you have to make a trade and make a move
for
someone.
Yeah, you got to take the hits when it comes to, you know, trades and paying someone and getting rid of a few guys and all that other stuff. You got to do what these owners are supposed to do, and you got to make something shake because you need another guy. If Devin Booker is the star of your team, you are never going to get to the playoffs. And I don't want to be a hater. I know he's still developing. I know he got paid. I know he's great. I know he scored 70 points in a game, all that junk, whatever. I just don't see it. I feel like he's going to be a very good player for all of his career, but I don't think he's ever going to get to, like, James, Russ, even Dame. Like, I don't – he needs another guy. He just needs – and the Suns need to do whatever they have to do to get one more guy if they ever want to contend. Because, look what Denver did. Denver started cutting the checks, you know, like – They made a couple of crazy trades, and then they started cutting the checks, and they were just sick of being like a laughing stock in the league. And now look at them.
I agree. I think the Suns should make a trade for Mike Conley. To be perfectly honest with you, I think he'd be the perfect fit here. He would be the best guard leader that they need. And $155 million contract was a lot of money 3 years ago. It's not a lot of money now when you're as part of the cap as they are. Memphis wants to go young. It's time to start parting with some of the assets they have. And you bring a Mike Conley in, a guy who can play, a guy who's professional, and a guy who's not going to accept losing. And I think the Suns may not jump right into the playoffs, but they're going to make a big jump this summer if that's the type of guy
they're going in. Oh, yeah. That is a great – look, Suns need to hire you, okay? That is the piece. That is the missing piece.
I just love around here, and this is my last Suns thing, when people are saying tank for Zion. And I keep saying tank for Zion.
Oh, no.
No matter how great he may be, and I'm glad this is going to be our transition, if you can't pass him the ball, if you can't get him the ball, difference doesn't make. I'd rather see him draft a kid from Murray State. And this sounds bad. I almost want the Suns to get the number two or number three pick just so they, if they're going to not go out and get anybody, at least get the kid that plays point guard for Murray State. I'd rather see that than Zion come here to get thrown in the mix of forwards that we have and no one to pass him the ball.
Yeah. And honestly, look, the Suns need to give up these trade picks and just get them. Like, they need to. The whole drafting, just keep drafting and keep drafting and keep drafting and praying that it works is obviously not working. So they need to just switch it up. Like, I would look at it, and it's not just them. It didn't work for, you know, the Lakers have been trying it for so long, trying to, okay, we're going to just keep drafting young guys, keep drafting young guys, keep drafting young guys, and it's still not working. Then they had to go and get LeBron, the best basketball player in the world, and it's still not even fully working yet. And he was ready to let all of them go for Anthony Davis, who's a solid guy. Like, so it's like you hate to see – you would love to see what the Suns have been doing front office-wise work, where it's just they're getting all these high draft picks and they're all good players and they're going to keep getting them and they're all young talent and it's going to build and they're going to be something one day, but like it's not happening with them. So they need to just, it's time to start playing the game with the rest of the NBA, especially in the Western Conference.
Very true.
Like, they don't need to worry about Zion.
No, on the game show with PLR, one the only Alexis Robinson. So Zion blew his shoe. I've never seen anyone blow through a shoe. And here's what makes it so funny to me. My eldest son is 9, and I'll tell you a quick story about him really fast. So he tells my wife, I'm going to be in the NBA one day. She looks at him and she says, son, that's great. I love it. But, you know, you always have to have a backup plan. And he said, okay, well, then I guess if that doesn't work out, I'll just play cornerback in the NFL. And she said, well, son, that's great too. But, I mean, a backup plan. You got to always have a backup plan. And he said, well, Dad said I have to have a degree, so I don't know what other backup plan you're looking for. So this is the basketball guy in her family. He goes out, and I bought him a pair of Paul George's gym shoes to play in his league. It's basketball shoes. And he looks at me this morning after watching Get Up on ESPN. He says, I'm not going to blow through my Paul George's and my dad. I'm like, no, son, you're 4'9", about 70 pounds. I think you're going to be fine. And I thought it was funny that he's thinking of that, but I've never seen anyone bust out of a pair of shoes like that. How powerful is this young man? Alexa,
I know. I've never seen that either. But it's just like, and I feel like, I mean, I feel bad for Nike and Paul George because they're really making it about them. But it's like, he's huge. He's huge. So it's like, he went, like, honestly, I think that everyone is focusing on the wrong thing. Instead of him busting out his shoe, I feel like everyone should be focusing on the fact that he didn't do something crazy terrible to his knee. Because clearly,
yes,
that, like, the impact, like, of his body, every motion is impactful to the point where if he just goes down wrong, he can literally burst out of his shoe. So it's like, physically, wow.
And
but I
– okay. Will you look at this kid sideways if he says he's not going
to
play anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Would you look at him sideways if he decides not to play anymore? I wouldn't.
No, he shouldn't play anymore. He's probably going to because Coach K doesn't roll like that, but he shouldn't play anymore because he did what he had to do. And, you know, he put this program in the number one position. They've got other guys. So why not let them rock? Like, He did, like, no, he doesn't. He's had an ankle tweak. I think it was the ankle, right? He had something.
Yes.
He tweaked a few weeks. Yeah, an ankle a few weeks ago, and now this. And it's like not even just something like another freak accident happening, but he's going to be targeted, and not in like in a bad way where players are going to be like, oh, let's go and hurt Zion. But they're going to be like, okay, we got to really body him. Like, we have to be very physical with him. And they know now if they are, and if he just makes one wrong step, something could happen to him just on his own because of his physical body. He doesn't need to be playing with these guys anymore. Like, the next time he plays, he needs to be playing with pros. Like, that, his body is not fit for college. He shouldn't have had to go in the first place, but he's there. He's done enough. They got all these guys on that team. So Coach K needs to just let him hang him up. Honestly, I would suggest it. And it's like, you know, don't – what's the point of recruiting five McDonald's All-American in one class if you can't win without one of them? So
– good point.
That's like
– good point.
And if you can't win, you can't win. But that's on him. Like, he doesn't owe Duke anything. Shoot, he got Barack Obama in their gym. So what else did you – what else, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. You know, and I heard Charles Barkley say, you know, I played 3 years. Mike played 3 years. Magic played two. Isaiah played. But I think sometimes what the older guys forget is it's a different game. It's a different thing. And he said, you know, we played for the love of the game, not the money. And there's two things I took away from that. One, it's a lot easier when you have money to say you shouldn't play for money. That's one. And two, because it was a different game then, and people would not, the NBA really frowned upon anyone coming out early. And I remember it used to be called the hardship rule, where you had to prove, I'm showing my age here, where you had to show that it was a financial hardship for you to come out early. So it was different then. But now, back then, coaches didn't make, you know, $9 million a year on shoe deals. Coaches didn't make all that same extra money. Unfair to say to Zion Williamson or any player, look, you owe us more when we can sell tickets to watch you play for $5,000 to come to this game, but you get none of that. You see none of that profit. And think about it. If he wasn't a one-and-doneer, if this was going to be him there for 3 years, those tickets wouldn't have sold for $2,500. They wouldn't have sold for $5,000. They wouldn't have sold for $10,000 because you would say, oh, if I miss him this time, I get him the next time. So I think they're missing the point. And for a young man to say, hey, look, I know I'll get $8 million if I don't get drafted high because of an injury, but so you want him to turn down $20 million guaranteed and then turn around probably another $100 million shoe deal because he could win a national championship. And the last I checked, a national championship doesn't pay any bills. It's a good title to have, but it doesn't make any payments. So I'm not looking at him side-eyed if he comes out. I'm not looking at him side-eyed if he stayed. But I think either way, it should be his decision and his family's decision for what's best for the young man.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, this is, I've always been like, and I think it's like the former NCAA athlete in me, one, I've always believed that players should get paid, or, and if they're not, like, I know it's never going to change, so it's like, cool, I don't think that players should have to go to college. Like, I'm glad that within a 2-3 years, this one-and-done rule will be gone again, because we, as like our generation, we didn't put this thing in motion where it was like so normal for everyone to be one and done. That wasn't us. And now we shouldn't be the ones that have to fix it or have to readjust. Zion is just doing, he's like, just because, oh, it sucks how everyone goes one and done. It sucks how, like, how the basketball game has shifted. People just go one and done, and then they sit and they go to the league and they don't even do anything in their first couple of years and all this other stuff. I'm like, look, who cares? You can develop in the NBA as a millionaire. Like, that is truly how I feel. I don't care if you're not developed enough or your game isn't equipped and all this other stuff that people complain about with one and dones because they feel like they should stay in college for the love of the game and to get better and all this other stuff. Who cares? That has nothing to do with us. Y'all decided to make it normal for players to go one and done. So I feel like that's what everyone should do. If you have that little bit of inkling that you can get in the first round, then go. And
yes.
Look, and if you're the guy, like, I feel like, honestly, we haven't had, like, this like 1,000% is going to be the number one draft pick since Kyrie. I feel like Zion is the, like, everyone, it's like, okay, you know, Markel Fultz, there were still a couple people that thought someone else might go number one. Same with, like, Ben Simmons. There were still, you know, a couple of guys in there, like, all sorts of stuff. No. I feel like Zion is the first one since Kyrie where it was like, there's nothing going down besides Zion going number one. Like, it's not about team needs. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about, well, Luka played good overseas. Like, no. Zion is going number one. It's 1,000% it happening. He's going number one. And he gave all of us what we wanted. Like, and honestly, I feel like I was actually shocked at his game this year with Duke because everyone made it, oh, he's the dunker. He's very skilled. And I feel like Duke, with all those players, I didn't know that he was going to be able to actually showcase that. He did. He showcased how good he was at defense. He was shooting threes out there. Like, he did all that great stuff. Cool. He's going number one now. And honestly, it's like, okay, now let your other teammates rock. Like, you know, let them go fight for draft positions, honestly. Like, he would actually be doing everyone a favor.
Well, Cam Reddish and the other guys are going to get drafted, you know, in the first round anyway. And it brings me to a point about a kid that actually plays out here on the Kerry Lackey Hall out here in Sports Cave, Cave Show with PLR, one only Alexis Robinson, is a kid by the name of Lugans Dort that plays for ASU. And I had this long discussion because I cover ASU basketball as well. And a long discussion with another writer who said, you know, I see that he's sitting at number 20 in a draft. He should come back. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. And he's like, he's not ready. I'm like, well, no, I disagree with you. One, the floor is open and more for him in the NBA than ever will in college. Two, he's going to get at least 3 years at $14 million. If he comes back for his sophomore year, scouts are now picking his game apart more. And he could fall more. He could get hurt. Something could happen. You don't tell a kid not to go get paid. Those days are done. If he can be a number 20 pick and get $14 million, leave ASU. Go running. Go run to them like a kid runs to a cake at a birthday party. Get out.
Yes.
And let your game develop at the next level. And that about him. I definitely think that about Zion. Question I wanted to ask you, though. You said it, so I'm going to bring it up. You were a Division I player. You played tennis. I have to ask you then about the one, the only Serena Williams. How is she doing this good at this age? How is she that good?
I don't know because – and I really – she's making it really hard for – like, I tell people, you know, I'm retired. I haven't played tennis in a good 4 years. I'm getting ready to play my first tournament in 4 years in the summer, and it's kicking my – getting in shape for it. And – she's out here in her late 30s now, just had a baby, and still killing it. And I really don't know. I don't know how. And all I can say is that the sport is really going to miss her when she goes because people aren't appreciating that greatness enough right now, because physically to be at the top level in the entire world at your sport at the age of 37, I think 37, and to have just had a baby and have complications from having that baby, incredible. Like, she's the greatest athlete of all time.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because I get tired of hearing she's the best female athlete, she's the best female tennis player. She's just the best. I mean, there's no gender assignment to this. She's just that good. And watching her, like you said, at that age, do what she's doing consistently, I've never seen any athlete in any sport be that good that long anywhere. It's incredible.
It's incredible. She's the greatest athlete of all time. Gender, sport, doesn't matter. I say, like, one, I come from a hoops family. I understand the game. First of all, tennis is physically harder than a lot of people even know that it is, because they don't play. And then the skill that you have to have along with it, and then the mental aspect of it. We cover all these sports where they have other guys who can back them up. If someone has a bad day, there's someone else out there that can have a good day. There, you don't get that in tennis. And a lot of people underestimate that aspect of it too. You're out there by yourself, already going through a very physically demanding sport, and then you got to also know how to hit the ball, hit it well, hit it hard, all that. And then you have to take every single point to the brain yourself. And I think that is where a lot of people, like, are not realizing her greatness, is because she's doing, we already talked about it, 37, top of her game, you know, all this other stuff. But she's also doing that in a sport where it's so hard to be good at, and it's also very hard to be good at consistently. So
yes,
like, I tell people, that's why I think I'm the best athlete in my family, even though I've got, you know, some NBA hoopers and all this other stuff, NFL guy, I have all those in my family. I think I'm the best athlete in my family. I'm like, look, tennis is hard. You have to, like, I don't, just the mental part of it is harder than every other sport. You got to go out there every single day by yourself and pick yourself up if you're doing bad, and keep yourself consistent. And it's hard. Like, she is 1,000% the greatest athlete of all time.
Last tennis question. Is Naomi Osaka the next one?
No. The next Serena?
No. No,
oh,
not next Serena, but the next great the next great name we're gonna know in tennis on the female side.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. Women's tennis is failing miserably right now. We're at this point where you will have people who are in the top 10 that no one's even heard of. We have a new slam winner, you know, like, in the past 10 slams, there's been, you know, four or five girls who have won. That's not something that's normal in tennis. And it's just, I think she should enjoy this run that she's on. And I think she's got a chance to win a couple more, just because women's tennis is so bad right now. But honestly, like, she's not going to be any better than, like, Caroline. I think she's like Caroline Wozniacki good. She just happens to have a few more slams, and she might get a few more slams. But I think that's, like, I think that's what she is for me, tennis-wise.
Hey, wow.
But I could be wrong.
You're the expert.
I'm hoping she becomes, like, a Hall of Famer. you know, I'm hoping she becomes like a Hall of Famer and all this other stuff. I haven't seen enough of her yet to, but yeah, I just, I want Sloan to pick it up. That's who I think the greatness.
So do I.
Is. I think it's so with Sloan. I just think she's got a, the thing that's hard about tennis is you take so many people with you when you start getting good at tennis and you don't make enough, and sometimes you don't make the adjustments that you should because you've had success. And so that's where American tennis is failing us. It's because, you know, Sloane Stephens has won a slam, so she's going to keep doing what she's doing, but she's got to elevate. She needs a coach. I think she needs, like, coaching for her flaws, you know, and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people, why I think that Novak will probably end up going down as the greatest of all time on the men's side, and I think the reason why is because he always makes the adjustments. He had been winning. When he started cracking into this Roger Rafa era and won a slam or two and everything, you know, it was great, but he was like, okay, but I want to be greater. He was working with Todd Martin. He fired Todd Martin. He got a new coach. He went like gluten free and like all this other stuff, you know, he completely changed his lifestyle, his coaching, his team all over again and then that's when he went on a tear. And then he hired Andre, and, you know,
yep.
I love Andre. And they were having a little bit of success, but they weren't having the success that he wanted. So then he parted ways with him, and then he went to grind again. And, like, that's the sort of, like, that's what we're missing on the American side of tennis, men and women's. But I would, if Sloane can get that sort of mentality where she's like, okay, I got to get better. I got to make whatever adjustments I need to make to get better. I think she's the one. I think she's the next great.
On the Cave Show with PLR, the one only Alexis Robinson. Last question, and then I'm going to let you tell me everything that you got going on. You're surrounded by everybody. You're surrounded by sports stars, movie stars, TV stars. You do everything. You're touching everything, which is just incredible. So I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to give the answer that everyone is looking for. Why the hell does Jesse Smollett lie?
Oh, gosh. I'm still not believing. Or no. I'm still wondering. I just want to hear. I want to hear. Like, we got it. We have to figure out as a country how we can hear. We need to hear him again. We need to talk to him. Like, that is such a harsh thing to
Chicago.
Do. It just does not make any sense. It's such a harsh and such an unnecessary thing to do for some attention and money. So I have some answers, Jesse, or questions, Jesse. I need some answers. Like,
so your speech was too.
Yeah, it's like, what? I don't know. I'm just hoping. He said, I think they were saying that he wasn't lying. So I'm like, okay, well, we need some sort of evidence on your end to come popping up because you are not looking good.
Listen,
right now.
I had a cousin when he was like 12. There was $12 missing from the dresser at my aunt's house. He was the only one at home, and he swore it wasn't him. But somehow he was able to go and buy like some basketball cards or something with no money. So it was him. You lied. You know what? Dude, you lied. Empire took him off the last two episodes. He lied. He's a liar. He lied. And the internet, I don't know if you've seen some of these memes, but the internet has no chill. You know how, like, when you get a call from a solicitor and it says scam likely? D.L. Hughley put out today, his face is the face now when it says scam likely. That's the face that pops up when you get your scam likely call. It has no chill, and I'm glad it has no chill. And here's why I'm glad it has no chill. Whenever you complain about something in this country that's true, when someone comes along and they do this, it now makes it harder. It's going to make it harder for the next person that claims they were racially abused, or for someone who's gay to claim they were abused because they were gay. That makes it harder because now people are going to look at them side and go, okay, well, let's make sure. Maybe we won't go after this with the same fervor. And I don't think he understands the damage that he did by doing that. But like I said, I just wanted to get your take on it.
I was just like, does he not realize, like, he's going to go to jail over some, like, this is, what a backfire. Why did you think that? Now you're, I don't know. Like, I'm so confused by that situation.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like I said, I know you touched so many
industries,
I have to get your opinion.
Yeah, it's like,
and fire.
Okay, you wanted a bigger salary and some attention. Now you're going to get fired. You're going to go to jail. You're going to be, like, you can't do anything in Hollywood anymore after this.
No.
So.
Hollywood, you can't do dinner theater. Hollywood, he can't get a job doing dinner theater. If vaudeville was going around, he couldn't get that right now. He's toxic. Nobody's going to work with him because he lied over something that made no sense to lie about.
No sense.
That's when you have kids and your kids do dumb stuff, and I'm going to just use this word, and I'll get away with it, dumb shit up on your own. Like, where did that thought come from? Where did you think this was going to get you? And you just look at him, like, with that thought. And so now you're looking at this dude with that thought, like, you really thought, and you went on TV and lied about it 3 times.
Yeah. And you backed it up, dang, you should have just let everyone rock with you like we were. We were siding with you.
Yep.
You had all the sympathy. Let everyone rock with you. Don't even file the police report. Like, you, like, just, like, chill.
Yes. Yep. Definitely don't file a police report. You know what? You say, you know what? I don't want to file a police report. Don't worry about it. It's a learning lesson for everybody. If you don't lie, at least be a better liar. You don't have you know what he tried to do? He tried to prove the lie. He really did. He's that dude that stayed out to 2 a.m. and then get home to his wife and try to create a lie so extravagant than just saying, my bad, I'm late. And then he end up in divorce court. My bad, I'm late.
Like,
and stop.
Yeah, my bad. Like, and I just saw that Charles Barkley thing. I just saw that this morning. I was crying laughing at him. It was like, who writes a check to commit crime?
Exactly.
That had me cracking up. That story
tell
made NBA
on
TNT.
It's making everything because he's a liar. And look, you see the one where it says it said Pentagon, Hexagon, and there's a picture of his face, and it says Careeragon.
Dang, that's a good one. I love the internet.
Internet has no chill. If you're busted on the internet will get you. It has no chill. Memes are the best.
He's in this internet stage. Why did he think that he was going to get away with this?
Because he's an idiot. Money and talent doesn't stop stupidity. And for some reason, we always think that you're rich, you're smart. You can be a dumbass and be rich. And he just proved that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I hope he invested well, because there will be no current checks coming in.
I know.
Save up your money, bro. I hope you got a court-appointed attorney, because the one you got,
and he's got, like,
go on the minor side.
His sister's in the entertainment industry. She's an actress. She was backing him up.
Yeah.
It's like, now she's got to deal with all this shit.
Yes.
Come on.
And you know she hasn't been in any roles lately either. So
you let your sister.
They go to see this. Yep. She was in forget the name of that crazy movie when she was a little girl, Angel Heart. And she was recently in a Tyler Perry movie about 4 or 5 years ago. So, yeah, they're going to see that last name. They're going to be like, no. Her best thing right now is to go get married and legally change her last name so she can at least get to read the script before they start putting it together.
Yeah. I'm like, she went out and went to bat for you, and you couldn't even be honest with your own sister.
Yes.
That's true.
Pathological
liar.
I would at least, even
if you don't want to tell her, just be like, don't speak to the public. Like, she actually went out
exactly to
the public and went to that. You let her embarrass her, your own sister.
Yep. Mm. And so you know what she said to him right now, right? You know I'm going to whoop your ass when all this is over, right?
I know.
That's exactly what she should be saying to him. You know I'm going to whoop your ass when all this is over. So that's the way it goes. So listen, tell everyone.
He makes an ass woman to get a ton of real ones.
He's about
exactly. to get a ton of ass.
But you know what? The one thing that he did prove, he could come out at his next role and say, see how good of a liar actor I am? You got to act real good to live with this lie I just told. I can act my ass off. I was doing that for a documentary. I hope he could, come up with a good spin. I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for a documentary to show what the country is like with the fallen star when things get out of control. I came up with... He needs to hire me for a publicity guy because I just gave him a whole story. Now, if he uses that, I have it recorded live on his show. So know that I'm going to get a piece of that if that is his reason.
Hell yeah.
So
that I would,
please tell everyone what...
That's not even someone I would want to work with. I don't need that.
Not right now. I want him to cool down a little bit. Because he's going to cool down, and then that's when you got it. You know what? That is a Lifetime show. He's going to have a show on Lifetime, and it's going to be some deep-down thing that, like, someone stole his lunch money when he was 12, and he's held that for so long, and that's why.
Yeah.
So you got to get deep.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get deep in this.
Yeah, you're patient. You're patient because you're gonna have to be. You guys, this is you're gonna have to be real patient with on that one.
Real patient. Oh. Yeah, go to Paris, drink a little wine for a couple months, let things die down, and then reappear on Lifetime. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
You all heard it first.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like grilling.
In a while, they need to cut you that check.
It's me. It's like grilling. Amateurs, you know what they do? They get salt and pepper seasoning meat thrown on a grill. Oh, professional grillers like me, you marinate. Let it sit for a while. And then you do your thing. Excuse me, you don't do it right away? Marinate. That simmer. That's simmer for a minute. You all right? You all right?
Man.
Please, Alexis, tell everyone. let everyone know what you got going on and how they can keep up with you and all the good stuff.
Yes. Big thing is, I don't know if any of y'all have heard, but if you remember the renowned basketball tournament Big Time, Las Vegas, we are bringing it back. So in July, look out. It was considered the country's best tournament years ago, and we are bringing it back to Las Vegas. So super excited about that. And you can follow me at _Alexor. That has all the information on all the work that I'm doing. And it will have the information on the tournament. I think that's like my big one right now is I'm really excited to be kind of now a part of history. This is a tournament that, Derrick Rose, Kevin Love, crazy how many people have played in this tournament, and it's really exciting that it's back. So So that's definitely the one thing that I want to plug. Big Time is back.
Cool. Cool. Well, you know, I will be in Vegas as usual for Summer League. So maybe I can come and make it a little bit longer.
Yes.
and check that out.
Yes. We need to do an episode
so that will be
together in Vegas.
Done. When I'm in Vegas, we'll do an episode, and we'll grab some lunch too, or some Starbucks,
yeah.
And we'll see, and we'll talk about how I've let Jesse simmer some more before we get
yes,
back into bringing his resurrecting his lifetime career.
The simmer line.
But I'm sure
yeah,
we will. But I'm sure we will be in touch before then. It is truly a pleasure having you on, and I definitely want to do this more often than as infrequent as I have you on.
Yes, no, absolutely. I love coming on. Definitely have to make it happen more often. Forever a fan of yours, and thank you for having me.
Anytime. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
That was the one and only Alexis Robinson, sports publicist, curator, Diamond NPR, and that tournament she ran in Vegas last year was huge. So we'll get more information out about that. And you heard, I'm officially invited to do the show out there when I'm there. So, yeah, you know you're going to find me at basketball tournament. Come on now. But right now you can find me at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco during this live show. And there is always something going on here. This is, if you are not a customer or a member of Maduro's, you're not a socialite. You don't want to be where things go down. Just keep going to your little neighborhood smoke shop and buying those knockoff cigars. They call cigars that come like five in a pack for a dollar. You know what I'm talking about. And you say, I smoke cigars. Those are not cigars. Come to Maduro's for the real thing, and they will take care of you, and the person that more than likely will take care of you, because I'm believing that she lives here at this point, because I'm never in here, and she's not in here, is the one and only Gabby. There's a lot of events coming up. I'm going to let her tell you what's going on. Right now, so the one and the only Gabby is here with us. Gabby, thank you for join us. I'm sorry for the delay.
No worries. We always love having you down here. We do have a couple of events coming up soon. So the first one is going to be Thursday, March 7th. From 4 to 7 p.m., we're going to be doing a cut and light event with Mike Wattman of HR Cigars. And the one thing I really like about these cut and lights is that it's a lot more informal than a really big cigar event. You get a chance to sit down. You get to know the history, the story behind all the lines, all what's in every single blend, binder, filler, wrapper. You really get to know these into the tasting. And so Mike's one of my favorite reps. He's absolutely fantastic. And so like I said, that will be March 7th in the afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m. It's a Thursday.
Okay.
And then our next big event is going to be Ashton on March 16th, it's a Saturday, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. We're going to be having some live music here, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. We'll get the a guitarist in the back doing some fantastic blues. Yeah.
You want me to come down and sing?
Do you sing well?
No.
Everyone can sing. It doesn't matter how well you
sing. Yeah,
well,
you know, I sing good with the music as well.
But you get like that old school, like smoky jazz club vibe,
right,
with the cigar smoking, and
we
got the beer and wine, and
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of fantastic deals going on at both events. So just come on down, and you can always keep track of us on Facebook or Instagram or our website. For updates on everything, when we get new product in, especially when all the events are going on, we always let everyone know, and it'll be a good time.
Good deal. And you guys are located at 49, just so you know, Maduro's is 4901 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler.
In the Sun Lakes area.
In the Sun Lakes area of South Chandler. I would tell you other businesses in this little strip area, but they don't pay us. So just look for the sign that says Maduro's.
That's right.
Yeah. Gabby, thank you.
Thank you.
For Gabby when you come down. If you see a funny-looking guy with a beard that's Marty, don't worry about him. Look for Gabby, all right?
I'm only here part-time Thursday through Saturday.
That's what she says. She's here all the time. And she'll hook you up for what you need to know about pipes, too.
That's right.
Thank you, Gabby.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. So I know that I've been clowning Mr. Jesse Smollett, but now I'm about to clown someone completely different. I'm about to clown Mr. Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft has been busted trying to get a little sum. Robert Kraft trying to get a little sum on the side.
Robert Kraft busted. They say they have video evidence of him at the massage parlor trying to get him a little sum. More to come. You know I'm going to talk about this big time Monday. You know it. I know it. We know it. It's coming. I can't wait to see what shakes down. I can't wait to see what the NFL does. See, if a player gets busted trying to get him a little sum that he got to pay for on the side, that's a black eye for the league. But Robert Kraft is the owner. The owners pay Roger Goodell. Can Roger Goodell supply or suspend his boss? We are going to find that out. I don't care what the details are because you know the rules. It doesn't matter if you're innocent or guilty in the NFL. It has to do with protecting the shield. When you got an owner out trying to solicit a hooker at a massage parlor, pay for a little extra activity, trying to get an ending that's very happy, that's a black eye for the league. What happens to him? What happens to New England? What happens to their reputation? They're already known as being cheaters by some. I can't wait to find out how this all shakes down. A fun show today. Got to come see you live from Maduro's. Got to have the one, the only Alexis Robinson, sports publicist, curator, Diamond NPR on the show today. All calls were made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you to Maduro's for hosting us today. Thank you to Gabby for coming on, talking about what's going on here at Maduro's. Don't forget, 10% when you let them know PLR sent you. There are some restrictions. Make sure you follow us at the Sports Cave, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Cave is always with a K. You can get us at thesportscave.com as well. Again, Cave is always with a K. And you can get me on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Everyone, enjoy your weekend. It's going to be a good one. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for employees to work, or is it a space where your employees do their best work? When you're in the right space, it can bring your teams closer together and be where the best talent wants to work. When you're in the right space, it can make your life easier. Whether it's a new HQ or a satellite office, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more. How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company, or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.